We're no longer at the 11th hour. We're at the midnight hour. One of the reasons this has to happen is because of the midnight cry. Put that up there, guys, if you will. One of the things that has to happen is that we are close to the coming of the Lord. And guys, this is not a time in our life that we can tear down our barns and build greater and say to our soul, take thine ease. This is not that day. This is not the time in our life where we can just say, I got this 20-year life plan and this 50-year life plan. I'm telling you, if we were at the 11th hour, there would be time in front of us, but we're at the midnight hour. And what happens at the midnight cry? Does anybody remember the words of the midnight crier? What did he say? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. That's what he's saying. We are closer to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been in our life. This is a time to work. It is a time to witness. It is a time to get on board and give God 100% because we are ready. I don't know about you, but I've preached about this for a long time. I am ready for the final flight of the dove. What does that mean? I'm ready for a victory to come to this earth like we've never seen. I am ready for another Holy Ghost revival to hit this planet in a way that we haven't seen. Guess what? It's already started. Perry is seeing this in his meetings. He's already been in two glorious overflow meetings where people could not get in the driveway. They stood in line for hours just to get in the doors. That's the kind of glory I'm talking about. That's the kind of glory that I want to see here. That's the kind of glory I want to see all over Cleveland and Tennessee and the United States and the UK. That's what I want to see in Australia. I want the knowledge of the glory of the Lord to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. I'm ready for the final flight of the dove. I'm ready for a last altar call that sweeps our loved ones in right before the coming of the Lord. I'm ready for that. Why do I believe that it's important for OCI to come into due season now? Because years ago at Faith Memorial Church, William Branham prophesied that in the last days there would be a revival in Cleveland, Tennessee. In Cleveland, Tennessee, that would start. It would be an end time revival that would go into the world. Why do I think it's important that we come into due season now? Because at Azusa Street, William Seymour prophesied before his death that in about 100 years that there would be a revival like the world has never seen, that the glory of the Lord and the Shekinah glory of God would begin to settle and they would begin to see the power of God. Why do I believe that we should go into revival now? Why do I believe it's now? Because in New York City, when you have prophecies that like David Wilkerson's prophecy that said there is a plague that is going to hit the earth and it will leave New York City devastated and it will shut down New York City like no one has ever seen before. And when that is over, after that is healed, there will be a revival that will come to this earth and it will change this whole planet. That's why I believe it's important. Why do I believe that God wants us to come into due season now? Because I don't know where this prophecy comes from, but I've heard people talk about the Urbane Street revival, and that's the road right in front of us. I don't know who gave the prophecy, but I know one thing. They haven't let it die. They keep calling on it. They keep calling it out. I want to live to see cars lined up down Urbane Street and people waiting in the foyer because somebody has reported that the glory of God has fallen at Omega Center International. I want to see this grand hall filled from one side to the other and the power of God changing lives and restoring lives and people getting saved. Is that so the saints can shout? Oh, the saints are going to shout. Don't get me wrong, but it's not about saints shouting. It's about sinners repenting. It's about people coming in and getting saved. It's about the football team getting saved and the cheerleaders getting saved. It's about the high school letting out early because people are trying to get to church. This has happened before in this country. It can happen again. When Charles Finney came to St. Louis, Missouri during the time of the Great Awakenings, when he came to St. Louis, Missouri, every bank in the city shut down at noon so everybody could go to the Colosseum and hear this gospel preacher preach the gospel in a major city like St. Louis. Wouldn't it be something to see that again? If it can happen in Brownsville, it can happen here. If it can happen in Toronto, it can happen here. If it can happen anywhere in the world, it can happen here. Why not here? Why not now? Why not us? We have been praying and contending and fighting the good fight of faith. I am ready for due season. I am ready for the glory of God to invade this room and invade this earth. Hallelujah. See, some people have the idea that it's just too bad, and the nation is too bad. The economy is too bad. The politics are too bad. The culture is too bad. We're up against woke culture and all kinds of cultures and countercultures and trans cultures, and we're up against all of this. How is the church? How is this little bitty church when most of the nation have stopped believing in the existence of hell, and that same group stopped believing in the existence of heaven, and only half of our nation still believe in the existence of God? How can this nation change in that moment? Well, have you ever read the story of Jonah? Let me tell you a little bit about the story of Jonah. So I know the part that you read in the Bible says that God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and he didn't want to go. So we pick on poor little Jonah, but you got to realize why he didn't want to go. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Jonah. First of all, the city of Nineveh is a 3-day walk. From one side to the other, it's a huge city filled with thousands of people. It's a 3-day walk, and he's one little Jewish street preacher that's supposed to walk 3 days just to get to the other side one time, expecting this Assyrian empire under King Sennacherib to fall. Now, you have to understand that King Sennacherib had a goal, and that was to kill all the Jews and to wipe them out. He's already sacked 29 Jewish cities. And he almost got Jerusalem. But God sent an angel and came down and killed 185,000 Assyrians in his army in one night because he was coming against Jerusalem. But he's already taken 29 Jewish cities. And in the British, in Britain, in the British Museum in London, England, there are some clay plates that were taken from Sennacherib's palace there in Assyria. Let me show you some of those. If you go to the next, there we go. This is one of those. This is him describing how his army invaded. This whole thing is about a Jewish invasion, right? This entire piece. If you look it up, you can find it. It's huge, and I'm only showing you small pieces of it. This is about how, wait, hang on, let's go to the first one first so I can describe them. This is how he rolled over the Jewish people in his chariots and took 29 of their cities. And when he captured Jewish people, the next one tells you what he did to them. Go to the next one. He filleted them alive, which means he cut their skin and ripped it off their bones right in front of each other to intimidate all the Jewish people. Now think about this. This is Sennacherib. This is the king of Assyria. The next one shows something else he did, and I won't elaborate that because we have kids in the room, but you just look at it and understand what's going on. And so this is another way that he was attacking the Jewish people. So the next one is self-explanatory, if you want to look at that one. That shows exactly what you think it's showing, hanging people. And so all of this is on display. Now, this is what's going on in Assyria because he is trying to kill the Jews. And God tells a Jewish street preacher, a little prophet, to go there and preach. Now, how many of you would have said yes? Oh, now I don't feel so bad toward Jonah anymore. No wonder the man was scared and ran to England or Tarshish. No wonder he ran there on a ship. He didn't want to go there because just showing up could have gotten him filleted alive, could have gotten him hung. Just showing up. He didn't have to say anything. And God says, I want you to go there and preach on the streets. And when you do, I am going to bring revival. And he said, Lord, it's just too far gone.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Our politics are too polarized. It's just too far gone. Our cultures have just collided. It's too far gone. Our economy is too greedy and pride-filled, and we just messed ourselves up. It's too far gone. We've become such a melting pot. We've lost all of our culture. We don't even have an identity anymore. It's so far gone. Our children think they're animals, and boys think they're girls, and girls think they're boys. And, Lord, I mean, it's just too far. How are we going to compete with it? It's so far gone that everybody on Facebook hates us, and they shut you down if you say Jesus, and they kick you out of school if you read your Bible out loud and say the name of Jesus. God, it's just too far gone. No, Jonah, that's where I want you to go. I want you to go to Nineveh, to the Assyrian Empire, to King Sennacherib, and I want you to begin to preach. And when he went there, the Bible says that everybody from the king all the way down repented, put on sackcloth and ashes, put ashes on their head, got on their face and repented before God. Now, I know what you're thinking. Boy, I wish he was preaching tonight. That must have been one more sermon, right? Actually, it wasn't that at all. It's taken years to understand why that nation that hated Jews listened to that little Jewish preacher by himself walking in their city saying, in 40 days, God is going to bring destruction upon the city. And no one understood why this city turned. Why would a nation like that turn? Because of what we now call the sign of Jonah. Now, understand that in the Christian world, Jesus told them, I'm only going to give you a sign from Jonah. He talked about the 3 days and three nights and the whale's belly. He was talking to the church. He was telling them about his resurrection. That was a sign from Jonah. But there's another sign from Jonah that the world understood. It's not written in the Bible, actually, but it's written in Assyrian history. You can read in the same clay pictures that I showed you in the London Museum, there's also this story that in 763 AD, there was something that happened that changed all of Assyria. They didn't know what to call it, but today we would call it an eclipse, a solar eclipse. While Jonah was saying, in 40 days, God is going to judge you or you better repent, all of a sudden the sky went dark in the middle of the day. And how do we know that's accurate? Because of this next screen. This is called the NASA star charts. And this is a tool that is used by NASA, which can go forward and backwards. This is how they predict the rotation of the stars. This is a very sophisticated. I'm only showing you just a one dimension of this, but this is a very sophisticated program that they can go forward and backwards and see where the stars have been and take it all the way back. And guess what they found in 763 BC? They found a solar eclipse over the Assyrian Empire at the same time that little Jonah the prophet stepped across the state line and began to preach, 40 days, you better repent. God said, I'll turn it around. You don't have to worry about it. I can turn that around. I can turn the Assyrians around. I can turn the Americans around. I can turn the British around. I can turn the Australians around. I can turn the Africans around. I can turn the Asians around. God says, give me a chance. I'll show you signs and wonders in the heavens, and I'll do things supernaturally. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is walk into due season, because what you're not counting on is the supernatural things that God is about to do that is going to change the course of everything. Oh, I wish I could just preach on Tuesday nights and fill this place up. And Tuesday's a tough night. I wish that we could just sing on Tuesday nights and fill this place up. I wish I could just turn Perry loose and Nick loose and Clay loose and these guys and preach on Tuesday nights and Carrie loose. I wish I could just turn them loose and preach. Or last week, I tell you what, if you missed Jackie Smith last week, you missed a treat. I wish I could turn her loose and fill it up, but guess what? Tuesday's a tough night. But you let the Shekinah cloud show up in this place one time. You let the glory of God visit this house one time, and you won't be able to get a seat the next week, because God says when you come into due season, there's a supernatural harvest. There's a supernatural blessing. There are things that are going to happen for you that you cannot make happen on your own. Due season is where you reap where you did not sow. It's where you live where you did not build. It's where you drink where you did not dig. Due season is a supernatural season.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.